In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. They never give me the really exciting texts to preach on. You know, like angels terrifying shepherds, or wise men getting lost someplace in the desert, and tongues of fire falling on people's heads. This is just pretty much an ordinary routine day in the life of Jesus of Nazareth, a day sort of like all days, a little teaching to do, some sick people to visit, synagogue to preach in. And then he tried to get away and couldn't. They followed him into the desert. You know how it is. Somebody's always after you. But it's actually still pretty much a normal routine day in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. He does it through his Holy Spirit now. He does it through people like you and me, whom the Spirit uses to get his tasks done. But it's still the way he conducts business. Oh yeah, and I forgot about fighting the devil. But he sends us, and it's the routine of our days, a little teaching, little learning, little proclaiming, few sick people to bring the power, the healing power of the word of the Lord, and to fight with the devil. That's part of the normal routine of our days too, though we don't always recognize it as such. The devil is real. The devil is earnest, and the grave for us really is his goal. He's a murderer and a liar. Jesus nailed him square in John 8. He's good at disguising the smell of death. He's good at making his lies sound like the highest truth. But our Lord knew the manifold ways in which Satan works and is working at us. He knew that there are real demons to battle. I grew up in an age in which well-meaning Lutherans in North America decided that we could omit the phrase about witchcraft from the Second Commandment. But that day's long since gone. I've personally had a witch screaming in my face, and on the paths I walk, I keep hearing the stories of demons and magic alive and well in our days. But for the most part, you know, as I do, that that's not the way the devil comes at us. He comes at us in those lonely moments when we are not listening to the word of the Lord. He comes at us to try to convince us that bad is good. You know, you've heard his lines. The government has no right to use your money, at least not in the ways that it is using it. And cheating on your taxes is actually a kind of a Christian duty, you know. Sometimes the lies come in very noble form. It's your right, your freedom. It's the assertion of your personality to show that coworker or that fellow student how good you are, at his or her expense, if possible. Sometimes Satan tries to argue, as the one demon noted in the text, tries to argue that God's out to get us, wants to destroy us. He comes to tell us that with our particular sins, there's no way God would really forgive us. And he tries to convince us that his persuasive powers are more powerful than the word of the Lord itself. At other times, he comes to assure us that we do have the forgiveness of sins, and to assure us at the same time that we're still such sinners that we couldn't possibly follow up that forgiveness with a real life of obedience and service. And so he tries to convince us that as long as we've got our ticket to heaven, we can pretty much play life as he suggests it be played. And Jesus had several ways of responding. In our text, he just plain said no. He rebuked the demons. By the power of his word, he did what he did also in Matthew 4. There he traded Bible verses with Satan. Satan often enough uses the scriptures themselves in our lives to deceive us. And in Matthew 4, Jesus just fired the Bible passages back. Luther did that kind of conversation with the devil from time to time. There's one passage that I just love in a letter to a lady named Barbara Lieskirchen, sister of his student Hieronymus Veller. She was being plagued by the devil's suggestion that she probably wasn't predestined. Luther wrote her a letter and said, "You just tell the devil the next time these thoughts come, 'Hey, get out of here, you accursed devil. You want to drive me to worry, but God says everywhere I should let him take care of my worries and says, I am your God, that is, I take care of you.'" On the other hand, in our text, Jesus also used the silent treatment because they recognized him as the Holy One of Israel, because they knew he was Messiah. He just shut them down. He just shut them up. We ignore the devil at our own great peril. But we may sometimes want to just act as though we're deaf to his blandishments. We may want to say that we just don't see you, we just don't hear you, we just aren't going to factor you in to the way we plan our lives. And it's important to remember that we should never be so terrified of him. We should respect his power, but we should never be so terrified of him that we think we are impotent before him. For the devil has been defeated. He has been placed under the authority of our Lord. Jesus has put Satan in his place on the basis of his authority. His authority comes from who he is, the author of life, the word that created life, the word that brings life back from the grave that Satan thought belonged to him. His authority rests on his being God. His authority rests on what he has done to rescue us from Satan's power. His authority over Satan, his authority over Satan's instruments of sin and death, established itself for sure and forever as Jesus went to take them on their own turf. And so Satan and sin and death have no say over Jesus, and they have no say over Jesus' people. That means you and me, because he defanged them and he declawed them. He shut off their claims on us by dying and rising. God, strangely enough, lets himself be pushed around, but finally he draws the line, and he drew the line through the tomb. He let himself be pushed as far as the cross. He let himself be pushed into the tomb because he knew that was where he would find you and me, the children of God whom Satan had kidnapped. Jesus took the battle right into the very depths of the realm of Satan so that he might establish the kingdom of God. Today's a day like all days. It's a routine day in the realm of our God. It's a day that gives us a little opportunity to teach and to learn. Maybe we'll even visit someone who is sick, and we will fight Satan as on the day recorded in Luke 4. The news about Jesus is spreading to every region. Spreading through the witness of our words and our lives as God, the Holy Spirit, comes to make us the vehicles of his power as he invades Satan's realm using us as his weapons. The word of God is spreading to every region because you and I are bringing the announcement of sins forgiven, of devil defeated, of death placed in the proper perspective from the mouth of Christ's empty tomb. God continues on this very day to use you and me as the instruments for putting all the enemies of his people in place. And that means giving witness, and it also means standing by one another, standing by brothers and sisters who are under the assault of Satan, as we speak the truth against his lies, as we help those who can't clearly see today what the truth really is, as we help them separate satanic lie from the reality of God's word. We speak and breathe the word of life from our Lord into those lives that are being strangled by Satan's murderous lies. For the authority of Jesus stands behind us. The authority of Jesus rests also in us as we bring his word to them. And so we should never let ourselves be buffaloed or stampeded by satanic deception. We should never underestimate his power. We should never underestimate the subtlety of his lies. But we dare never forget who won the battle, who has won the war, and where our Lord, on his authority, has sent all his enemies, all our enemies. For Jesus is Lord. He is the master of all our enemies. He is the Holy One of God who has let the demons fall back into hell. He is the Messiah, the Christ, who delivers us from all evils. And because we believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, We have life. Again, this day we have life in his name. That's the way it is on this eve of the presentation of our Lord in his year 2005. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.